Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Evan Woodhouson and I'm solo at the moment as I'm waiting for Troy or Trotovic to join me on the show. And the Red Light Sports Ramble is provided to you by The Grueling Truth. So go to thegruelingtruth.net and check out all the great content, including past episodes of the Red Light Sports Ramble to see what you're missing. A great website with great minds who love talking and writing sports. So thegruelingtruth.net, go check it out. Today, you know, we've been talking a lot of college basketball, a lot of NFL and whatnot lately on the Red Light Sports Ramble. But today we're going to still talk basketball, but we're going to switch to NBA. Going to talk some NBA basketball, and mainly the two main topics and one other one if there's time. You know, lots of talk lately in the NBA about players resting, to rest. And now the commissioner is getting all upset about it, saying that owners need to take control and not allow coaches to sit players for rest. LeBron James coming out pretty much saying, you know, sometimes I need to rest and there ain't a damn thing the NBA can do about it, and all the NBA is looking to try to do something about it. Well, here's the thing, and why is it such a big deal? I understand, you know, the NBA is about money, making money, ticket sales, television revenue, and I get some marquee matchups were ruined the past couple Saturdays due to players taking days off due to rest. The Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson sat out recently against San Antonio. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving recently sat out against the Clippers. And the NBA is furious about it because in the long run, they end up losing some money off of it. And I guess fans are hit hard because fans want to go to those games because of Seth Curry and LeBron and whatnot, and now they don't get to see them play. Well, ultimately, the NBA has made their bet. Scheduling so many back-to-backs throughout the year, trying to squeeze in 82 games between the end of October, middle of April, then you got playoffs. The NBA's kind of made their own bet, and now they got to deal with. And rather than threatening owners to start having more say in players playing or not, or there could be penalties handed out by the league, rather than doing that, there are some other options if they want to try to eliminate the DMP for rest. There's an article that I saw on Fox Sports by Dieter Kurtenbach. You know, not a new issue, but it is becoming a serious problem with Adam Silver. You know, as I mentioned, Silver sent the memo to the league saying the resting of healthy players was an extremely significant issue for our league. Silver even called on owners and team governors to be part of the decision-making process when it comes to resting player. And here's basically what this article is talking about. They got to build more rest into the NBA season for players. You know, the NBA is not going to change how long, you know, the schedule side, 82, they're not changing it. But instead of doing that, why not eliminate so many back-to-back games? Start the season a little earlier in October. End the season a little later in April. Spread it out a little bit. You don't have to squeeze in 82 games in a very short period of time. That is a simple way to do it. That's more simple than threatening teams, threatening players and all that. And I get what the NBA is trying to avoid. They know a few years down the road, they have to renegotiate new television deals with ESPN and Turner. And ESPN and Turner may not be willing to pay as much money for the fact that the you know, marquee players might not be playing in these prime games, and we want some protection. They don't want to have to negotiate that. But the easy thing is, like I said, spread the season out a little more. So, and here's my thoughts for those that I know are saying that guys like Michael Jordan and Karl Malone and Charles Barkley and those guys from the 80s and 70s and 90s played 82 games a year and they didn't need rest. And I heard one guy arguing that you would think with all the information and sports nutrition and science that we all have that these players would be able to better take care of themselves to go through an 82-game season. Well, that's the thing. All the technology with all the science and with all the information that's out there, these players, they found out pretty much how many games they need to play in to have their peak performance. They know, they can do even more, give even more of an effort playing in, let's say, 72 games instead of 82. So let's sit out 10 games, or let's sit out 5 games and get ready for the playoffs. So that is one thing, too. The players are smarter today. Can you imagine what Michael Jordan's numbers would look like if he did take a day off here and there? I think his points per average would probably go up quite a bit if he was able to take a day off here and there. But like I said, the NBA made the bed. Now they got to deal with it. And the other way they made the bed is with the back-to-back is the regular season is three anymore. It's all about winning championships and winning the NBA title. And that's what LeBron and Seth Curry and company are worried about. They're worried about playing 7 games in the NBA Finals. They could care less about a game on March 22nd. It's not going to impact them in the playoffs. So, but I just hope the NBA doesn't hand out some ridiculous overreaction penalty, and I hope they consider stretching out the season a little bit. Start it a little sooner, end it a little later, and give players more built-in rest. Like you don't have to have so many doubleheaders throughout the year. And that's, if you look at it, that's when this rest is happening. It's on road trips following a doubleheader. So tonight, let's say LeBron plays. If they have a game tomorrow night on the road, he won't play. That's pretty much what they're doing. And that's the NBA's job is to, fix it. And that's probably the best option they have is to spread out the season and eliminate so many back-to-back games. So moving on, sticking to NBA talk and a little bit about LaVar Ball. LaVar Ball is the father of UCLA basketball player Lorenzo Ball. And LaVar Ball has a couple other kids that are really talented basketball players as well in the high school level. LaVar Ball has come out and made comments such as he would beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. He has also come out and said that his son is better than LeBron James and better than Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and all the top players in the NBA today. Now, I get Ball wants to be a supportive father. I get that. He thinks very highly of his kids. I get that. That's okay. He's allowed to think highly of his kids, but I think he needs to tone it down a little bit. And now Ball is LeBron's kid. He's getting personal. LaVar Ball says, quote, "Give an opinion on what I felt about no superstars' kids really being superstars and the fact that they have to live up to their parents or to their fathers or whatever. I've yet to see one. I've been around for 50 years," he said in an interview with on Full Ride on Wednesday. "Have you seen one where the superstar son is just as good or better than him?" I said a superstar. I ain't saying just a regular player. I'm talking about a guy who was a picture of an icon, a Dr. J, an Allen Iverson, a LeBron James. If somebody asks me a question, I'm going to give them the answer. So he talks about LeBron James' kids, and he made a reference to James' sons, LeBron Jr., who's 12, and Bryce, who's 9, which basically brought up, made LeBron fire back with, he can talk all about his brand. Talk about his sons. Talk about basketball. Talk about me. James said to ESPN, but keep my family out of it. basically saying, keep my kids out of your kids' names out of your mouth. And Ball fires back to it, I don't care what LeBron said. He's talking about, he warned me. He warned me for what? What is a warning going to do? Nothing. And he's talking about James being touchy. I think Ball needs to shut up. That's my take on it. LeVar Ball needs to stop talking. LeVar Ball needs to shut up. I think he's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And is it going to eventually hurt Lorenzo? That's the question. Is it gonna make a team? You know, he's gonna be a top three lottery pick for sure, likely number one pick in the draft, more than likely. Comments going to affect when whoever gets that number one pick? Because if you draft LeVar Ball, you're getting. If you draft Lorenzo Ball, you're getting LeVar with him. You're getting that personality. You're getting that mouth. You know, he's talking about how he wants to get a $1 billion shoe deal for his three kids. That's what he's talking about. And at the end of the day, you want that distraction around the team. And if I'm Lorenzo Ball, I'm telling my dad to stop. I'm telling my dad to shut up. I'm getting tired of him talking because I know it takes some of the attention off of Lorenzo, and he can just focus on basketball. But then Lorenzo is probably going to get questions about his dad. And here's some claims that LeVar had said. He said he would have dusted Michael Jordan one on one. That Lorenzo is already better than Steph Curry, and that Lorenzo is already the best player in the world. At least in the 5-on-5 context. By taking on Jordan, Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, and UCLA's opponent, here's some sampling. Comparisons of Lorenzo to Johnson. Ball said, Lorenzo is more athletic than Magic. Blocks more shots and makes more steals. Lorenzo is Magic with the jump shot. Ball to Kidd, Jason Kidd. The way you compare him to Kidd is he likes to pass, and Kidd and Zoe are light skinned, but Lorenzo is taller and longer, and he's got a better shot than Kidd. He's more athletic in how he jumps and catches lobs back door. On his son's upgrade, Ball said, Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time, but all three of my boys can go down as the greatest player ever. Lorenzo is better than what Michael Jordan was doing in high school, and he's better than what Michael Jordan was doing in college. He's only 19. He's got to get past Jordan 6 titles and get to be the greatest player ever, and I think he could do that. On UCLA's chances against Kentucky, he goes, I already said UCLA won the national championship, so I'm not going backwards on it now. With Zoll, the chemistry that UCLA has is better than what Kentucky has. So, as I said, LeVar Ball needs to just stop. As Chris Jericho of WWE would say, could you please shut the hell up? I'm getting tired of it, and it's sad that he's got so much, he's got so much attention. He got microphones in his face all the time because teams want, people want to, media, ESPN, NBA, all that. They want to hear what he's got to say because it's moving the needle, and I'm getting tired of it. He didn't have talent as a basketball player. Now he's trying to live through his sons. That's pretty much what he's trying to do. He's trying to live through his sons, and he's doing it by running his mouth. And I think he's doing it the wrong way. He's going to alienate people, and people are going to start taking it out on his sons, because he's going to start alienating them. So that's my thought on the Ball. Lorenzo, great basketball player, but LeVar needs to shut up. Another thing that he said after one of his sons' teams lost in the state playoffs is the head coach of the team wanted to do things his way, and that's why they lost. I can't wait till he says that about Luke Walton or, whatever team Lorenzo plays on when his team loses a game. I can't wait till he says that and sees what the backlash is. So, sticking to tonight's theme, NBA talk, playoffs. NBA season starting to come to an end. I believe about 12 games left, and it's time to talk some playoffs. Right now, the Eastern Conference, you got Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics for that one seed. Cavaliers lost to the Denver Nuggets tonight, and you know, the Celtics, not sure how they did yet. They're not sure even if they're playing. They won 109-100, while the Cavaliers lost. So Cavaliers are a game and a half up on the Celtics right now for that one seed. So you got the Cavaliers, the Celtics, the Wizards, the Raptors, the Hawks, the Pacers, the Bucks, and the Heat is your top playoff teams at the moment. The Bulls and Pistons both within striking distance, a game and a half out of the eighth seed. The Bucks, a half a game above the eighth seed, and they're a half game behind the sixth seed, a game and a half behind the five seed. So the Bucks could realistically climb to that number five seed before it's all said and done. And I got to tip my hat to the Milwaukee Bucks. I think it might have been 2 weeks ago now, Troy and I were ranting about the Bucks and Jason Kidd, and we had Lamont on the show, and I played this soundbite from Jason Kidd.
In our locker room right now, we don't understand the urgency. We're young with what we're fighting for, and that's a playoff spot. So this is growing pains. This is something that we have to go through the process of understanding. We don't have that many games left, and our energy and effort has to be high. Anytime whoever starts or whoever plays, we have to compete, and we did that in the second half.
Yeah, so that was about 2 weeks ago. Jason Kidd commented after a tough loss where they showed no energy at all against the Denver Nuggets. And Troy and I and Lamont all basically said, we're tired of hearing Jason Kidd talk about this. Well, now the Bucks are 3-2 on the road trip right now. Possibility of going 4-2 on this road trip, playing the Sacramento Kings as we speak. They should be able to beat the Kings, hope. But they're about to possibly go 4-2 on this road trip. They are 8-2 over their last 10. And Bucks are playing some pretty good basketball right now, exactly at 500 mark at 35-35. They're playing more consistent, which I like seeing. And here's what I said 2 weeks ago, is I could care less if the Bucks win another game between then and the end of the year. I just want to see more consistency night in and night out from the Bucks. I want to see them playing tougher, playing better, playing, you know, basically balls to the wall each and every night, and now we're starting to see that a little bit, and I'm happy to see that. Chris Middleton's comfortable, and Chris Middleton's playing much better, playing better now that he's healthy, and him and Giannis are doing great things. And, the Bucks realistically could climb up to that fifth spot by the end of the season, but 12 games left, six at home, six on the road, something like that. Bucks got to continue and keep it up. I think the East still goes through Cleveland, but I don't sleep on Boston. And Wizards and Raptors are going to be tough outs in the playoffs, as were the Bucks, possibly even the Pacers. So the Eastern Conference playoffs, to me, is shaping up to look like a very fun playoffs potential, which I still think Cleveland gets it. Cleveland comes out of the East. I still believe that. But the Eastern Conference, as I said, looks to be a very fun playoff. Western Conference, you got the Golden State Warriors at 57-14, 2.5 games up on the second seed San Antonio Spurs. Then you got the Houston Rockets at 3, 8 games behind the Warriors. The Utah Jazz at 4, the Clippers at 5, the Thunder at 6, the Grizzlies at 7, the Denver Nuggets at 8. 33-37. Trailblazers are a game back of the Nuggets, and the Mavericks are three games back of the Nuggets for that eighth seed. And the Western Conference playoffs are going to be looking quite interesting too. You've got the Warriors, winner of 5 in a row. The Spurs are winners of 2 in a row. The Rockets, winners of 2 in a row. Those are three teams that all have realistic shots at making the NBA Finals. Golden State was supposed to easily make the NBA Finals this year. They're supposed to make the NBA Finals with little problem, coming out of the West, but it hasn't really gone that way. And now Kevin Durant hurt. Who knows if Durant's going to be back in time for the playoffs? He says his rehab's going well, but if Kevin Durant's not back for that first round of the playoffs, they might struggle a little bit against the Nuggets if they're that one seed. Otherwise, they get the Grizzlies if they don't finish that one seed. And the Grizzlies are a team that could definitely beat this Warriors in that first round. They definitely could. So the Warriors need that number one seed if they want to try to advance to the NBA Finals again straight year. They need that one. They can't afford to drop down to a two. If they drop down to a two, the Grizzlies could easily knock them out. The Spurs and the Rockets both playing really good basketball, and the Jazz have a great defense. They're one of the top defenses in the NBA, and the Clippers are the Clippers. They're up out, and Russell Westbrook's playing a man on a mission. So I think, the East should be Cleveland quite easily. The West might be a little bit more competitive than what people were saying about a month ago. I don't think the Warriors are a lock to the NBA Finals. Basically, all year, people have been saying Warriors, Cavaliers, lock for a rematch, third year in a row in the NBA Finals between these two teams. I don't think it's quite the lock out of the West. As I said, the Warriors, no Durant right now, very thin bench. Defense, they play really good defense, really methodical defense. They got Defensive Player of the Year, seems like every year on Kawhi Leonard. Aldridge is playing well. Gasol is playing well. And if I'm the Warriors, I do not want to see the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals. I don't want to see the Rockets either. Those are two teams I think that could knock the Warriors out. Like I said, they don't play defense. That's their Achilles heel. So I don't see it being so easy for the Warriors to get back to the NBA Finals. So, with that, don't really have anything else to add. If you want to get in touch with me, at Evan Witt Sports. If you want to get in touch with Troy, at Troy Robert 967. You can at Red Light Sports. You can tweet at us there. As I said, go to thegruelingtruth.com to check out thegruelingtruth.net to check out any past episodes of the Red Light Sports Ramble, and also all the other great podcasts that the network does, and articles and blogs and whatnot that the network does as well. So, without further ado, I should let you all go. Thank you for listening to the show, and feel free to comment. There is a comment section at the bottom of the page on thegruelingtruth.net. If you have a comment, if you want to say something about the episode that you listened to, you want to give your opinion, sign up and comment. I love debates. I know I don't know everything. I know people aren't going to always agree with my opinion, but I want to hear what you got to say. I want to hear what your thoughts are on what Troy and I are talking about. I want to do some dialogue with that. So. With that, I want to thank you all for giving us a listen. This is Evan with Allison. Tomorrow night, Troy should be joining once again, and we're going to talk some Major League Baseball, spring to an end in about a couple weeks. And Troy and I are going to give some updates on what's going on in Milwaukee and Pittsburgh and around the majors. So thank you so much for listening. This is Evan with Allison wishing you all a great rest of your night. Thank you for listening and supporting the show. Have a great night, everybody.